Well, it's great to be with you, and just on behalf of Lynette and myself, it's wonderful. Thank you to be here, and thank you for inviting me, John, to come. You have an outline, and you'll notice there, but we're going to focus for a few moments on what I think is one of the greatest stories in the Bible. It's about a man called Enoch, and he has this testimony that he walked with God for 300 years. It was on June the 20th, 1970, that a man by the name of Dave Kunst from Minnesota set out to walk around the world. It took him 4 years to accomplish that task. During that time, he lost his brother, who was shot in Afghanistan. He wore out 21 pairs of shoes, 3 mules that used to pull his cart that had his camping equipment on it, and he covered a journey of 14,520 miles, which is estimated as 20 million footsteps. He was a man who over 4 years endured intense hardship, courage, determination, and perseverance. But I don't want to speak about Dave Kunst, who walked around the world. I want to speak about another man who walked with God. And he walked with God for 300 years. It was a walk of 109,500 days. It was a walk that was consistent, that was continuous, and that was constant. It has this testimony that Enoch walked with God. There are just a few comments that I would like to make. And the first is, as you have it there on your outline, is the commencement of that walk. And you'll notice there that the writer writes, he says, after he became a father. When did it start? What brought about this relationship? What were the circumstances in his life? Now, it's good to make a study of the times and to consider the background. And we're told that at the time of Enoch, there was considerable sheep farming. There was a great interest in music. There was a development in industry of brass and iron. And if you go right to the New Testament and tucked away in the second last book, in the book of Jude, that is only 25 verses, we are told that it was a time of intense godlessness, a time of drunken orgies, a time of violence and of hatred, and it was a time when there was no fear for God. In fact, when Jude describes the religion, he describes it like this. He says it was like clouds without rain. In other words, the promise of rain, but it was empty. It was just a pretense. It was just a sham. It was deceptive. It was masquerading. It wasn't the genuine thing. It was clouds without rain. And when he speaks about the behavior of the people, listen to how he described it. He says, like wild waves of the sea foaming up their shame. You want to take your wife for a drive? Do it tomorrow morning. Start at Komiki. Go around to Vitsons, Misty Cliffs. Do you know that famous place, Scarborough? Go there and stop. Go down to the sea edge, and there you will see ample foam and scum and debris, and flotsam, and thousands upon thousands of sea lice. So don't let them start walking up your legs. But go along and have a look. There it is. And you know what Jude was saying? That their religion was just like that. Their behavior was scum. And it was in that situation that Enoch lived. And you know what? He was part of it. He was part, he was rich, he was powerful, he was influential, and he was godless. And one day, his wife gave birth to a son. And when he saw that son, first of all, he gave him a name, Methuselah. Can you imagine having a name like Methuselah? Means a man of the javelin. And they were no doubt thinking in their minds that one day he's going to be a warrior. And the birth of that baby had an enormous impact on his life. It revolutionized his thinking. It redirected his footsteps. It changed his attitude for God. And there was a stirring in his soul, a turning to God and a surrendering of his life to God. Prior to that, he was opposed to God. He was an enemy of God. He was an antagonist of God. And then the baby. Do you know, the result of it was that that heart that was once hard and cold and barren and dead suddenly came to life. He had a new heart, a believing heart, a praying heart, a contrite heart. You know, sometimes God brings circumstances in our lives, doesn't he? To change the direction, to change our thinking, to change our attitude, and above all, to change our relationship to him. Cyril Roberts was a young man when I was a little boy in Cape Town. Cyril Roberts was a car thief. He was a gangster. He was a thug. He was a drug peddler. He was an addict. And the one thing in Cyril Roberts' favor was he had a godly mother. And she used to pray for him day after day after day. And then she would try and speak to him, and he just used to brush her aside. He ignored her, disregarded her pleadings, and he scoffed at her appeals. And one day Mrs. Roberts died. And I have no doubt she died of a broken heart. And there was a service out there at Maitland, Baltimore. And the one decent thing that Cyril Roberts did was to come to his mother's funeral. And as he was there at the graveside, there was no service in the chapel. Just a handful of our old friends. And the minister standing up with a prayer book and uttering those words, departure. And as that coffin went into the grave, something happened to Cyril Roberts. His heart changed and he became a man of God. Through the death of his mother, through the sight of a coffin. But you know, with Enoch, it wasn't a coffin, it was a crib. Maybe just for somebody here. Maybe you're listening to this tape, or you're sitting in your lounge, or driving in the car, whatever it may be. It's just that indifferent spirit in your heart. Perhaps a resentment, or an apathy, or carelessness. And maybe what's happening to you is God saying, my friend, it's time for you. Come walk with me. That was the commencement. But I want you to notice that if you go on with the verse there, it says there's the continuation. Enoch walked with God, notice, for 300 years. They lived longer before the flood. I think that's maybe one of the reasons. But for him, it was like a lifelong exercise. His resolve never petered out. He didn't walk in fits and starts. It was a steady, it was a continuous, it was an unbroken walk with God that lasted 300 years. Every day, walk with God. Every week, every month, every year, every century, walk with God. Kept good company. He walked with God. God didn't walk with him. He walked with God. He walked with somebody who was always faithful, always patient, always loving, always the same. What a great companion to have. And he did it for 300 years. And I have no doubt that the people who were there would have noticed that he was keeping different company, that he was taking a stand against evil, a hostility towards sin. His godly behavior and standards and ethics and lifestyle was all changed. He was walking in good company, but he was also, beloved, walking with God. He was keeping pace with God. You see, never ahead of God. Never lagging behind, never in another direction. And let's go down a little side road here. Hope this microphone can take it out, take it in. Can I just say this? Don't you sometimes wish that God walked a bit faster? I'm sure if we stood up here this evening and we gave a testament and said, I've been praying for somebody for 20 years. Still not converted. My old man at home. I wish he'd come and be here tonight, but he won't come. My parents, my grandchildren, where are they? Lord, why don't you come into action? But he walked and kept pace with God. With God. And notice, he walked and he pleased God. You've got to go and put your New Testament spectacles on again. Because you go back, go into the book of Hebrews, and it tells us there, he was commended as one who pleased God. You see, that was Enoch's burning desire. That was his passion. That was his longing. That was his craving. That was his yearning to walk with God. In the light of God, in the wisdom of God, in the truth of God, in the honesty of God. How is it expressed? In obedience. You know what God did to him one day? Gave him an incredible task. An incredible job to do. Then I didn't have to have that job. He said, Enoch, I want you to go to those people out there. That ungodly lot. Those people who have no time for me. Those people who speak badly of me. Those people who have an ungodly lifestyle, I want you to go out there and I want you to preach to them. And I want you to tell them not nice things, I want you to tell them I'm going to bring judgment. Imagine your Pastor John got up here every Sunday and he spoke about judgment. So isn't there another string to your bow? Or you speak about something else as well? Same thing. That's the message he had. He had to go out and preach it. A man by the name of Whitnack lived in Denver, was an atheist. And before he died, he made a tape that was to be played at his funeral. And at his funeral, they played the tape. And I've got extracts of it here. Listen to what he had, what he said. This is my funeral. I have the utmost contempt for this theological nonsense. The Bible and religion have done nothing but spread ignorance and impede the progress of the human race. And he continued on to attack religion, the Bible, and Christianity. And he closed with two words. He said, that's all. And my friends, you got it wrong there. You see, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And that was the message Enoch had to go. That it is appointed unto man once to die, and the judgment. And with great ability, and great skill, and with great courage,
He preached judgment. What a brave man. And the last thought there is the consummation of his walk. Look at verse 24 there. Enoch walked for God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. I'm not sure why God waited 300 years to take him home. I'm not sure why God took him home in that most unusual manner. I wouldn't mind going home like that. He was raptured. He was caught up. He was carried up into the skies. He bypassed death. There was no coffin and no funeral and no service and no mourners and no tomb. God took him away. God took him out of that violence and that corruption and the blasphemy and ridicule and persecution. And God took him into his city that he made. A new heaven and a new earth. A new Jerusalem. A place where there is no more death, neither pain or crying or mourning. What was the secret of Enoch's life? What was the governing principle that kept him going? What was the hidden spring that influenced him? I'm going to go to the New Testament again. You go there in the book of Hebrews. You look at the gallery. There you see Enoch. What's it say? By faith, Enoch was taken from this land, this life. By faith. Don't you sometimes feel a little bit confused with this word faith? So I've got faith. What does it mean? You pray, I pray by faith. What does it mean? I've got faith in God. I've got faith that things are going to work out. Do you sometimes feel like that? I feel like that. What is faith? I think here for Enoch, if I might make a suggestion, it meant looking in two directions. I think it first of all had a backward look. And he realized as he looked back, he was a descendant of Adam, the first Adam. And he took on the sinful nature. In other words, he realized that there was nothing worth in his life worthy of commendation to God, but the wrath and the condemnation of God, and that he had inherited a heart that was deceitful and desperately wicked. His faith made him look backwards, and I think it came about with the sacrifices, because you see, when he made that sacrifice made him look forward. And he may not have seen the whole picture and the understanding of it. But he knew that God was one day going to provide a sacrifice. A greater one than the sacrifice that he was making. And that the sacrifice would be the Messiah. The sacrifice would be the deliverer. And his faith was, as he looked back, that God forgave him. In the Messiah to come. And that he was living for a Messiah was yet to come. You know, beloved, when you and I can only walk with God when we realize that we're children of Adam. That all that we've lost in that first Adam is there. And we lost everything. Don't blame Adam. If you'd been there, you'd have done the same. And I'd have done the same. We lost everything with the first Adam. But thank God we gained everything in the second Adam. And in Christ, he deals with our sin, our nature, our transgressions, our lostness, our past. How did it all end? He was taken from this life. You know the story, but let me just tell it once more for those who haven't heard. And it's only a story. But the little girl went home from Sunday school. And her mom said to her, like all good moms do, what did you learn in Sunday school today? She said, we learned about Enoch. What did you learn about Enoch? Enoch walked with God. And what happened to him? Well, one day they were walking for a long way. Went on and on and on and on. And then Enoch said, well, Lord, it's a long way from home. And God said to him, well, you better come home with me. And took him home, and he was not, because God took him. Can I just close by just asking, just a moment of reflection, how's your walk? Is it fervent? Is it zealous? Is it there? Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. Let us pray. How tragic it would be if we left this building tonight and we're not in step with God. Nothing could be worse. If somebody here is walking on their own and not with God, walking the opposite direction, walking ahead but not with Him, how tragic it would be if some of us tonight were not walking in step. Just spend a few moments and just talk to Him about it. Walk out of this building tonight in step with the Savior. Father, we just want to ask you tonight, as we bow before you, that we may be a company of people, young and old, who are walking with you. We pray that wherever it might lead us, our confidence and our faith and our trust will be you, in you alone. We ask it and pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.